actually get a hold of this. The law of synergy says that the sum is greater than the parts. When you and I connect together, something similar but much more powerful takes place. What could we accomplish? I tell you, there's no limit to what we can do if we do it together. Revival is something that is experienced together. It's something where the Holy Spirit is poured out on a church or a city, and people are experiencing it together. Revival is not an individual experience. Revival is something that connects us powerfully.
Hello, come on, everybody, stand up. You're here.
Sing it out.
There is a river where goodness flows. There is a fountain that drowns sorrows. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising.
Come on.
There is a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven crashing over. The tide is rising, rising. It's bursting up from the ground. We feel it now. Bursting up from the ground. We feel it now. We come alive in the river. We come alive in the river. We come alive.
Alive in the river.
Spring up a well.
Spring up a well. here for you, Jesus. We're here to worship you in unity and in power and in praise. Are you ready to worship like never before? We come together, God, as the body of Christ, your sons, your daughters, God, to sing a song of praise. You're so worthy, Lord. All over this room, just lift up the sound of heaven. Come on, lift up the sound of worship. We worship you, Lord. Early in the morning, Lord, my song will rise to you. You're holy. You're holy. You're glorious, Lord. All the honor, all the glory is yours. Every voice singing worthy, sing it with me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Come on. Lord, you're worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. That's it. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, tell them I live for you, Jesus. Oh, sing the name Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Yes, he is. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, you're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Come on, shout it out. Oh, we live for you, Lord. Beside you, make it our prayer. I will build my life.
I will build my life upon your love. It is the firm foundation.
Sing it, sing it.
I will put my trust in you alone.
You know.
And I will not be
ashamed.
Another time to get inspired. This is a time to get a download from the Holy Spirit about finding your place, about knowing your identity, about being even healed from things that you thought you'd never be healed from. That as you join the team, as you come together with my family and with my house, I'm gonna begin to heal you. I'm gonna begin to pour out my love for you. There have been people in here that have been serving faithfully, even though you don't feel anything, even though you don't understand the revelation of the goodness of God. But I'm just speaking into life today that over the next day or two, you are going to have a revelation of the goodness of God in your life and His love for who you are. Can you guys just give Him praise for just a moment? Let's take 20 seconds and just lift up His name. Come on. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. We're here for you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Amazing. I could keep worshiping. And throughout this weekend, we're going to have plenty of time to worship and learn about God. You guys can be seated. I just want to say welcome to the Inspire Leaders Conference 2018. Are you guys excited to be here? I'm excited. Come on. Are you guys excited to be here? Let's get excited. Let's expect for God to move. My name is Jordan Canis-Tracy. I'm honored to be the youth pastor here at San Jose, along with my beautiful wife, April. And I just want to say that I'm happy to be here, and I am expecting for God to do something amazing for our church family. And I'm so excited that all five locations are under the same roof. That's like amazing to me. One of the things, and we're going to have a great day. We have our very own The Big Eagle. Pastor David Canis-Tracy is going to be sharing later on in this session. And we're going to have a great time. But I just want to invite you guys. I know you guys just sat down, and I think I even told you to sit down. But I'm going to tell you guys to stand up. Something that we are going to do over this weekend is we're going to have some mingle time. We're going to get to know each other a little bit. We're going to turn some music on in just a moment, but I would like you guys to walk around the room a little bit. Find somebody that you don't know very well. Maybe you don't know their name. Maybe they're from a different location. And I want you to tell them two things. Tell them your name and tell them what ministry you serve in and how long you've been serving. Go ahead, find some friends, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
The conference room.
Come on back. Don't have too much fun this early in the conference. Find your seat. We got some business. Literally no one moved. Come on, find your seat. You'll have plenty of time. I'm gonna start calling people out by name. Knock it off, Patrick. Knock it off.
No, we gotta go.
All right. I see some new friendships forming. I see some new connections forming. That's awesome. So we're going to go ahead and move right into the next section. I have two books that I am so excited to give away. I get to give away two books. So throughout the conference, we're going to be honoring teams. And right now, I just want to take a quick moment to honor all the people that make Sunday work, all of our service teams. So everybody take a seat, but if you are an usher, if you are a greeter at your church, or if you come here early in the morning and you work in the cafe, can you all stand for me? If you serve on a service team, all our ushers, greeters, security, our cafe team,
makes Sunday happen.
All of our campuses. Wow. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for showing up early. Some of you every single week. Some of you come every single week and show up early. And I just want to say thank you so much. And actually, can you keep standing?
Service team, stand.
So if you have been serving, if you're on a service team, and if you've been serving for more than 5 years, stay standing. More than five. More than 10. More than 15. 16.
Oh my goodness.
17. 18. 19.
Oh my goodness. Guys, give it up for Pat. We got a book for you. Pastor David, let's talk about Team's book. Who was the longest standing woman service member?
Woman service member. There you go.
All right.
Pastor Kathy just wrote that book. So
Unexpected Seasons, that's for you. Thank you guys. All right. Now I want to take a moment and introduce our very first speaker. And I think you guys are going to like him. By the way, you know this is going to be a good conference because look at all the denim jackets in the room. That's how you know it's going to be a good conference. The Spirit of the Lord is here. So our first speaker is my personal hero. And I mean that with all my heart. He has been my personal hero for my entire life. And the reason that he's my personal hero is because everything that he says up here is how he lives his life every single day. It's been an honor to have him as my dad. It's been the honor of my life to be able to work for him. And I think we ought to give it up big time for our lead pastor, David Canis Tracy.
Thank you. Let's give it up for Jesus. Hallelujah. Just so you know, my pastor is here too. There's another hero. Emmanuel Canis Tracy is our founding pastor. Our founding pastor. And every one of us are standing on his shoulders. He and Sister C are great heroes, and you're going to be hearing from them later in the conference. Well, welcome. It's great to see you guys all here. You got some time off from work, and I'm excited. I have just about 20 minutes to talk to you because after that, I want to bring up Pastor Albert and Jenny, and they're going to give a fresh report on what God is doing in Arizona. But I want to get right into the Word today. I've got something burning in my heart that will take me exactly 20 minutes. So grab your Bible or your digital device, and let's get with it. Everyone say team.
Team.
This conference is about team because Jesus has been speaking to me about team. For about a year, the Lord has really been talking to me about this word team and what he wants to do in our church and what he wants to do across our cities. And God has given us a vision of reaching people, and he's given us a heart and a desire to make an impact in the earth today. But we're not going to be able to do that without a strong, healthy team. And we need healthy leaders, and we need healthy teams to go where we're going. Can I have an amen? The day of the one-man show is over. It is not about one particular person or their gifts or their preaching ability. That day is over. It is about team, and everyone that believes that, say amen. So teams, and I, of course, I wrote a book on teams, and the reasons for all of this, it would take too long to describe it, but team is a very rich concept. It's a Bible concept. Let me just say that when Jesus began his ministry, the very first thing he did was build a team. So if Jesus needed to build a team, how many of you know he didn't need his team in order to preach the Sermon on the Mount? He didn't need the likes of Peter and Thomas to get that done, right? He didn't need that to heal the lepers or raise the dead. He didn't need his team, but he needed a team to carry on his ministry when he was done. And so if Jesus needs to raise up a team, then we just need to be all about teams. And so they're very important all through the Old Testament and New Testament. One of the things I'm seeing is that God builds his kingdom through teams. He uses teams to build the kingdom of God. And I want to talk about that subject for a few minutes today. I want to talk about the team that builds the kingdom. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. I think we'll get it up on the screen. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all of his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Father, I pray as we begin this conference that you will speak by the Holy Spirit to each and every person that's here and everyone that's watching online and listening to this recording. Lord, I know there are mighty men and mighty women in the making in this room right now. Some of us are discouraged. Some of us are discontented. Some of us are in debt. We've got so many challenges. But Lord, we believe you are pulling together a team that will build the kingdom. And I pray for the identification of every person in their calling, in their gifting, and their place on the team. From this moment, Lord, would you begin to speak to us in Jesus' name? And everyone said amen. Let me give you a little background on David just to remind you that David, of course, had been chosen by God. David had been anointed by God when he was just a young man. The anointing was on him. But there was a king already who did not recognize that anointing. His name was Saul. Saul saw that David had killed Goliath. Well, he knew that David was anointed, but he didn't want to honor that anointing. You know, some people, by virtue of their calling, their gifting, and who they are, it's kind of a threat and a challenge to a small-minded person. And Saul was not a person who wanted to honor someone else in their place or their anointing. So David had to run from Saul. David was fleeing from Saul, and he ran out into the Judean wilderness, and Saul was chasing David and trying to kill him. And so David fled for his life, and he entered into a very lonely, difficult period of time in his life called his cave time, his cave experience, where he was seeking safety. He was homeless. He was displaced. He lacked resources. He was unappreciated. He was powerless. He had no one really to follow him. He was a loner. He was an outcast. He was a man on the run. This is David in the wilderness. In this, David is like a picture of Jesus Christ. He's a type of Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus Christ, despised and rejected by men. Think about Jesus Christ and those that mocked him and those that would not receive him. And they said, will you be our king? You'll never be a king. What kind of king are you? They crucified him. They didn't perceive his anointing, though his name was Christ, the Anointed One. They didn't perceive his anointing. And for those that did perceive his anointing, many of them would not honor him as who he was. So honor is an important part of this, but here's what's really got my interest in this story. It's these 400 men that gathered to David. It's David's men that interest me the most. Imagine this scene. David is alone. He's in a desert cave. Saul and his army don't know where he is, but they are hunting for him. Literally, hunting him down. David is crying out to God. God, what about the anointing on my life? What about the call that you gave me? Samuel poured oil on me. Lord, I'm supposed to be the king, and here I am hiding from my life, running from my life. Psalm 57 and Psalm 142 are the prayers that David prayed in the cave when he was hiding. We know that God loved David. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. And we know that God had a plan for David to sit on the throne at the right time. There's a time where God will raise you up and turn your situation around and bring you into the moment that you've been being prepared for. But that time wasn't yet. But God loved David, and God was for David, and God had anointed David. So surely when David prayed, God, help me. Send me somebody. Send me some people. Surely God would have sent an amazing group of people to help David. Surely this God who loved David would have sent the best of the best, the elite, right? Instead, God sent 400 of the most needy, ragtag, messed up. I mean, they needed cleansing streams. They needed cleansing discipleship. They needed a therapist. They needed a good lawyer. They needed a financial planner. These people were a mess. They were homeless, complete failures. God sent David complete failures. And that just doesn't make any sense, does it? Unless you understand how God builds the kingdom. Because I'm here to tell you, God builds the kingdom differently than you and I would build it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this: the foolish plan of God was wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things the world considers what? Foolish. If God chose you, guess what you're qualified as? I'm not going to fill in the blank. Except I'm in the same category. God chose the things despised, the powerless, things counted nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of the Lord. See, God chooses the weak and despised, and he turns them into a dream team. I'm not sure if you're all excited about yourself today, if you're enamored with yourself, if you think you're amazing, or maybe you're struggling with a little bit of fear, a little bit of doubt, a little bit of wondering, like, how could God ever use a person like me? But I'm here to encourage you today, to let you know that no matter what is going on in your life, the hand of God is on you, and he wants you on his team. Somebody say hallelujah. God chooses people just like you. Think about the 12 that followed Jesus. What a group they were. And what a group we are. The good news is God's going to use us to build the kingdom. Let's look at what they had been. Just dive in. First of all, it says they were in distress. They were stressed out. Distressed. They were vexed. Actually, the word means oppressed. They had issues going on. There were things on the inside of them that needed straightening out. They had anger issues. They had insecurity issues. These were not psychologically perfect and healthy people. These were people that had a glitch in their personalities. They had a scratch on their hard drive. They were stressed out. They were not where they needed to be psychologically or emotionally. I know there are people here today that are facing issues. You've got issues. You've got a problem with anger. You got to have issues with pride or lust, or you're wrestling, you know, some stuff in your life, and you say, God could never use me. I want you to know these men were distressed. And then it says they were in debt. They couldn't pay their bills. They were behind financially, upside down. These were not the financially healthy group. These guys were in danger of debtor's prison. Actually, there was a price on their head. When you look at that word debt, it means people were after them. The creditors were chasing them, And in those days, a creditor could throw you into debtor's prison until you paid. You would become a slave. These guys were in sad shape financially. And it says they were discontented. And this is an interesting thought. Discontented means passionate for change. Everyone say passion for change. Now this, I think, is something where many of us... There is a time for us where we should not be satisfied. There is a time for us where we should not be okay with how things are. I know that Paul said, I've learned in every state I'm in to be content. I know he said, but there is a time and a circumstance where stuff's got to bother us. It's got to drive us to a place where we say, you know what? I'm not just bothered. I'm passionate for change. I'm bugged to the point where I'm going to do something. That's a place called divine discontentment, where God is stirring and you're... You know, your food doesn't taste right and your bed doesn't feel right and the people around you don't feel quite right because God is trying to stir you to a place out of your passivity. He wants you to break out of the old and into the new. And it's not your wife and it's not your friend and it's not your pastor and it's not your church and it's not the food. Don't blame all the people around you. Stop blaming people. It's you. This is between you and God. And God is saying, you are ready for change, and I am not going to leave you alone until you get passionate for something to change in your life and something to change in your world, and I want to use you to change your world. Discontented. If you're enamored with yourself this morning, if you think you're fantastic and you just love the way you are, you're probably not the one that God is going to choose for his team. Because God chooses people that are bugged. People that have issues, people that are upset, people that know the way it is not right. It needs to change. Turn to your neighbor and say, something's got to give here. And so that's where they were, but that's not where they stayed. Look quickly with me at what they did. They made some decisions in their life. First, they left the old system. Let me ask you, what is the system that you've got to leave? It says in our passage that they departed Saul's house and went to Adullam. Now, they had provision in Saul's house. They had perks and bennies in Saul's house. But they left that because they said, this is not where God is. I'd rather be in a cave with one guy that's anointed than in a palace with a nut job that doesn't know how to recognize the true anointing. Sometimes you've got to leave the old. And then it says they kept their relationships. And I want to say this. These guys were family. If you look at this passage, it says they were related to each other. This was a group of people that were called his brothers and his father's house. They were family to David. You know, one thing about the team that God is building right now, he wants it to look and feel like family. He wants there to be real loyalty, real, everybody say family. I could talk a lot about that, but you got to keep your relationships, keep your families together, and move together with the people that you're ready to do life with. Finally, they became his loyal followers. It said David became a captain over them. In other words, these guys, as vexed as they were and as troubled they were, they understood authority. I like that. They understood how to come under somebody. You know, a lot of people don't understand authority. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. But if you're going to be on God's team, you've got to recognize, and we've all got to recognize, that we have a king and that this is a kingdom. And we can't live any way we want. Jesus is our king, and he establishes our kingdom culture. So some things are going to fly, and other things aren't going to fly. And it's not about fighting or arguing or different opinions or the church that you grew up in or how you think it ought to be. That's not what it is. It is about what Jesus is speaking. And are we going to follow what our king is requiring of us at this time? So these are the makings. And I have here on the screen something you might want to write down if you're taking notes. If you are unteachable, you might be unteamable. Some people say, well, I want to be on the team. Yeah, I want to be on the team, but don't tell me what to do. Well, you probably don't understand much about how teams work. Because teams are not entrepreneurial. Teams are not, you know, everybody gets to choose what day they do this and when they, whether we go north or south or east or west. Teams have to move together. In other words, teams have to be, all of us have to be teachable because God is changing us. I can tell you that my life has had to change in order to do life in team. You can't say, well, I do what I do. I just want the team to go around. You've got to live differently when you're a part of a team. And you've got to be teachable. Well, let's wrap this up by looking at what they became. This ragtag bunch of men were transformed from the in debt, the devastated, the psychologically abnormal, the bothered, the vexed, the people that were running from the credit. You know, they were getting the calls, you need to pay this bill. They went from that to champions, giant killers. Can I read a couple of their, eventually there was 400 and then later it became 600. And this became the team that carried David into Jerusalem and installed him as the king first of Judah and then as the king of all of Israel. 2 Samuel 23, if we had time to read it, I could tell you about Adino the Esnite, who killed 800 men at one time. That's a bad dude. I could tell you about Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Of course, if my dad's name was Dodo, I would just say, just call me Eleazar, right? But Eleazar, the son of Dodo, attacked and fought until his hands stuck to the sword. And when the Philistines attacked a field of lentils, a man named Shammah, the son of Agi, stood in the middle of the lentil field and fought off a whole battalion of Philistines. I could tell you about Abishai, the brother of Joab, who killed 300 people with one spear. Now, honey, you got to have some moves if you're going to kill 300 people. I mean, what could that guy do with two spears? Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, killed two lion-like heroes of Moab, and he chased a lion down into a pit on a snowy day in the winter and killed the lion. And it says he killed a spectacular Egyptian giant who came at him with a spear, and all he had was a wooden staff. These guys became unbelievable champions and unbelievable heroes with bold victories that were won by the same desperate men who came together and gathered with David in the cave, the distressed, the indebted, the discontent, the ready for change. I want to ask you today, are you ready for change in your life? Could you believe that God could choose and use even you? Because I'll tell you what, God wants to build his kingdom so much. He wants to save people and heal people and restore families. And he wants to do that so bad that he will even use me. And he will even use you. That's how bad he wants to do it. So we've got to be ready for change. They came together, I like this, they came together and became what they could never have been alone. And that, I think, is the essence of team. Coming together to become what we could never be on our own. Their weakness was turned into strength. Their poverty was transformed into wealth. Their discontent was changed into victory. Their foolishness was transformed into honor because they came together. And God was at work in his kingdom through them. And when they ushered David in, Saul left and David was ushered in. It was a very special time in the kingdom. Actually, it was the beginning of what is called the Golden Age in Israel. That under David, David subdued all of his enemies. David conquered all of his foes. He secured his nation, and there was wealth and prosperity like you've never imagined. And I believe that Jesus Christ is going to build a kingdom that we cannot imagine. There's a golden age. I know what we're seeing in the news today isn't very encouraging, but there's a time that's coming. There's a time that's coming, and it might feel like we're in the cave right now, and it might feel like we're facing some battles, and this didn't happen overnight, I promise you. It took some time. But we are a part of a kingdom that will never end. It is going to be established in the earth. And you and I are a part of the team that will establish that kingdom. So I ask you in closing, are you in distress? Have you come today frustrated, discontent, ready for something to change? Are you ready to leave something old? Are you ready to embrace something new, even if you can't quite define what it is? Are you broke? Are you alone? Are you frustrated? I believe God is calling you onto his team, and that Jesus Christ wants to transform every single distressed, indebted, and discontented person into a giant killer. How many want to be a giant killer? You will triumph over your limitations when you join God's team. Father, I thank you for this time as we begin this conference. And I'm praying right now, and I'm believing you, Lord, for every story in this room, every personal story. You know exactly where each of us are. Some of us have been through tragedies. Some of us have been through moral earthquakes, emotional floods, financial fires. We've been through every challenge, Lord. But we're ready for change. And Lord, I'm asking that you would speak during this time to each person. And Jesus, we will not rest until you are firmly established in your kingdom, this invisible kingdom that we are a part of. Lord, we ask your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is already in heaven. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. Guys, I want to introduce, for the rest of my time, I'm so proud of Pastor Albert and Pastor Jenny Castaneda, and I want them to come. This is our new campus leadership team. Where are you guys? Where's Pastor Albert, Pastor Jenny? Come on up here. Give them a big hand as they come. Albert and Jenny, come on. I was just with them and their team. They've got almost 40 on their launch team. The church launches February 10th, 2019, and they got 40 on their launch team, and these are champions. These are mighty. Amen. You guys talk to us and give us a report. Tell us what's happening.
Right. Thank you, Pastor. And go Team Denim. Yeah. That's how you know I'm his disciples. I dress like my pastor. Let me say this first. This conference, when Pastor and the team were creating this and thinking about what we wanted to do, honoring was one of the components, the main components. And so I want to take just a second and honor our lead pastor. And I want to say to you, Pastor David, one of the greatest joys of serving on your staff, working on your staff, is watching you work so hard for the people you love. I'm so inspired by watching that. In fact, in my opinion, in sports, one of the greatest titles you can give somebody is a GOAT. And you're my GOAT. I want you to know that. You are the greatest of all time. You're the GOAT. I just want you to know that. They can have the Eagle title, but you're the GOAT. Eagle, yeah. Someone else has the Eagle. You're the GOAT. You're my GOAT. Just real quick, an update for Phoenix, Gilbert. We are doing amazing. And just to clear the air, it's hot. Let's just get that out of the way. We survived the summer, but God is moving over there. And I want to update you so much. We have so many stories, so many things that God is doing. But I'm going to say this. If you really want an update, go to our Facebook page, Instagram page. You will get real-time updates. What we are gathering, we are praying, we are doing life groups, and we are building a community. Let me tell you, we are building our community. Like Pastor David said, we left here with about 20 people from our church, and we've just about doubled our team over there, and we are on pace for our record. We want to get 60 people on our launch team, and we want to launch strong, we want to launch big, and do it and build God's kingdom. Amen? Amen. One of the latest highlights, though, I want to say this, is last week, Pastor Steve and a couple of his team members drove up there, and they hand-delivered a trailer. If you've been following our story, you know that we were a trailer of audio and video equipment was delivered, and we unpacked that trailer last week. We were kids on Christmas morning. Thousands and thousands of dollars worth of audio, video, we were packing it, we were plugging it in, and we transformed that building into a church. So we're going to be rocking. We're going to be rocking. With the few minutes I have left, I just want to talk to you guys about team culture. And what I want to say to you guys is team culture matters. Team culture matters. Here's what team culture is defined. Team culture is the value, the beliefs, the attitudes, and the behavior that the team shares. It's how we work together toward our goal and how we treat each other in that process. That's team culture. It's all about the dynamics that we have with each other. It's what somebody new to the team would feel naturally without being told what we're doing or why we're doing it. It's the synergy of a team. It's what somebody feels. And I just want to share a couple of cultures that we are creating in Arizona on our team. And the first one is this. My mom literally just called right now. She's probably streaming, and she's probably saying, "That's my son. Yeah. Give me a plug, Mom. I love you." Sorry. I just want to share a couple of team cultures that we're building in Arizona. First one is this. We are building a culture of inclusiveness. We would love for people in our church to feel that they are included, that they are a part of. And I think one of the things that we are not going to say in our church is like, "No, we're good." There could be 40 people trying to plug in a cord into an amp, and if somebody says, "Hey, you need help," we're going to say, "Yeah, we need help. We'll find something for you to do." We want a culture of inclusive. You know why? Because we believe everybody has gold. Everybody has something to offer. We're going to help discover. We're going to help pull it out, and we're going to help put it to use. The second thing we want to do is we're going to create a culture of serving. A church planner friend of mine told me this. He said, "In my church," he said, "if you are a guest, if you're new, you don't do anything." He says, "But the rest of you guys, you're family. And family washes dishes, and they throw out the trash, and they clean up after themselves." He says, So I want to create a culture of serving. You know that trailer that's being delivered? My wife and I plan to be on that setup team. 7 o'clock in the morning, we're going to go and set up every single Sunday. And the day that somebody taps me on the shoulder and says, "Pastor, we got this. You don't have to come set up," my wife and I will find something else to do, because we want to create a culture of serving. Everybody serves. And the third one, I only have time for three. The third one, we want to create a culture of investment. You know, when I was 20 years old, I got hired onto this tech company, and as I was signing the papers, there was a paper there that I signed, and I said, "What is this?" And the HR lady said, "These are shares." I said, "Well, what's a share?" She said, "Well, you own part of the company." And I said, "What do I do with this?" She said, "Well, if you work hard and the company grows and the company succeeds, She said, you're going to be a rich man. So let me tell you, I started working my butt off. I kid you not, for this company, I was on time. The guys that I supervised, they knew we were there to make this company successful. I would be at the meetings and I would say, hey, what are our numbers for the quarter? What do we need to do to get there? I was invested because I wanted to be a rich man. That's what they told me. But you know what? There came a day when I was no longer part of the company. And there came a day when I no longer owned these shares. And if I'm honest with you, I didn't really care too much about the growth and success of that company. I was on to a new company. And what am I saying? I'm saying this. The truth is, there are people that come in our church, in your churches, and they like the preaching and they like the children's ministry and they even like the coffee. But there's a chance they may not be concerned about the growth of our company. Unless we create a culture of investment, we got to get people invested. We got to get people involved. And let me tell you, leaders, not only, I'm not talking about just getting people involved and giving out roles, we got to give authority. We got to give ownership. And they will work hard. Could I share a scripture that summarizes our culture? 1 Peter 5:8 says this. Above all else, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Wouldn't you love that for a team? Love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others faithful stewards unto God's grace and its various forms. You know, I started by saying church culture matters, and here's why. We're not here just to build teams, to build churches, to build networks, and even to build conferences. If we get culture right, we're going to build people that build people that build people. And Pastor Chris. Thanks, man.
What a word. Let's give it up for Pastor Albert and Jenny. Pastor David, good word. Does anybody have a denim jacket I could borrow? I just kind of feel out of place this morning. So, hey, out in the parking lot, we got spear training way back over there, goat training over here, and dishes to be done. So I don't know if they told you that when you came here today, but we got work to do. Listen, my name's Chris. I'm one of the pastors here, if I've not met you yet, and it's just an honor to be a part of the team here. So I'm going to kind of be directing traffic today here with some of the announcements, etc. And if you have not registered and you want to come to the lunch and to the reception afterwards, you need to register. Go out there in the lobby. Everybody else, go check out the books. We got t-shirts. We got a lot of information out there. And then right across the hallway here, we have some free health food, all the donuts, etc. So did I say free? So go help yourself to all that here. If you could throw up on the screen there, everybody pull out your hot sheet. This is what we're doing today. This is the Gateway IL Conference hot sheet. On here, we have all the information, the schedules, the rooms, the different meetup teams that we have coming here real soon. So avail yourself of this here, and it will give you kind of the direction of where we're going here today. We are going to take a break. We are right on time. We got 15 minutes. Bathroom's over here to your left. Head on down that way. Mingle in the hallways. We're going to come back here at 11 o'clock. Pastor Eric Butler is on deck. Make sure you come back on time. Everybody stand up. Say bless you to your neighbor. And go take a break. God bless you. Goodbye.